Good morning. It's good to see all of you here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Today I'll be preaching on ready for battle. And boy, the last song we sang sure was good. Onward, Christian soldiers. It's time to get up, get that armor on, and start fighting. So when you get to Ephesians 6, 11 through 13, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please, if you're able to stand. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the reading of your word. And Lord God, today we start basic training. We are ready for battle, Lord. You show us what you want us to do, God. And Father, I pray that you will give each and every one of us the courage we need to fight. We are not wimpy Christian people, but Father, we are children of you. You are the Most High God. And with your Son Jesus alive in us, we have no reason to back down, to fear, or to run away from the enemy, because the enemy is already defeated. And now, Father, as I preach this message, God, I pray that you will speak through me, Lord. Let everything come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I was not expecting my Monday last week to go as it did, but the enemy decided to hit me from about four different directions on Monday. And you want to talk about a test. You want to talk about a fight. I thought by Monday night, by the time I went to bed, I thought my head was going to split and roll right off my shoulders. And I tell you what, I got down in prayer Monday night, and I went to battle. And I started fighting against what the enemy was throwing at me. Well, cut that short, God came through Monday night, and God just touched my heart, and God touched my mind, and God let me know that everything was going to be all right, that He was in control. And no matter what things look like on the outside, He wanted me to know that on the inside, I could rest in His peace, that I could rest in His presence, that I had an abundance of joy. And you know what? I don't have to work for it. I don't have to toil for it, because Jesus gives us peace. Jesus gives us joy. And He gives us strength. But you know, how many times do we as God's people, how many times do we, "Oh God, will you please give me joy? Oh God, please give me strength, for I'm weak." And the Lord's already said, "I've given it to you." What God wants us to do is God wants us to receive it unto ourselves. And God wants us to put it in action in our life. Now, Tuesday evening I come in and I sit down and I got into the Word and I just started saying, "God, what do you want me to preach on Sunday? You show me, Lord, the Word." And some scriptures came to mind, and I went and started reading a few places in the New Testament. And God spoke to me after reading those chapters. God said, "That's not what I want you to preach. but I wanted you to see that. When I got over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, man, this lined up perfect, ready for battle. I thought, yeah, I went through battle Monday, but I really wasn't prepared like I should have been. You know, as we live life from day to day, there are times that we will face circumstances that are out of our control. If we take the appropriate steps, we can always be ready to fight the battles that we will encounter. It is important to know that we have to put God first in everything, and we must submit to Him and resist the devil. The Bible says that when we do that, the enemy flees from us. Now, before I get into the first point of this message, I want to point that out to you. The Bible says in the book of James, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, we have to submit to God in everything. You can't submit just a little bit of you to God and say, okay, God, now the rest of it I'll deal with. God doesn't deal that way. God wants all or none. And we have to submit to God. That means you give up everything about yourself. You strip yourself of everything in this life, and you come before God and you say, all right, Lord, here I am. I am submitting to you. I'm giving you everything, and I'm giving you full control and authority. And when you tell the devil that you resist him, the devil will flee because you are under God's protection. You are under the bloodline, the powerful blood of Jesus. And when you are under that protection, the devil cannot come near you. So what I'm saying, when you submit to God, that means you pray, you read God's Word, you sing to God, and you trust Him with all the faith that you have. The Bible says it only takes faith of a mustard seed, and that's pretty small. I was in Kroger one day, and I was looking at the spices, and I just happened to see this little bottle of mustard seeds. And I thought, wow, I haven't seen one in quite some time. And I picked up, now that little bottle was about like that. And all these little mustard seeds in there, a bunch of them. Man, they wouldn't know. I thought, that's what God's Word's asking me for, faith of a mustard seed. And sometimes my brain says, whoa, man, that's too much for you. What's going on in your life? It's going to tip you over and it's going to weigh you down and you're going to be defeated. That's the devil feeding lies. But if we are ready for battle, then we know, and I told you this last week, the devil's already lost the fight, so why listen to what he's saying to you today? Why listen to the lies of the enemy? If he's dumb enough to get himself kicked out of heaven, why would we be crazy enough to listen to his lies and to speak and do the things that he's telling us to do? The first thing that we have to do, according to the Bible, verses 11 and 12, is we have to put on the armor. Now we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we're fighting against? We're not fighting against flesh and blood. In this life, you're not going out and having a boxing match with your neighbor, and you're not trying to beat up your brother or your sister in the church. You're not fighting anybody that's in human form whatsoever. The fight that the Bible is talking about is a fight that is in the spiritual realm. You are fighting an enemy that has no power. I want you to remember that right now. You are fighting an enemy that has no power. So keep that planted in the back of your mind. We are fighting against the schemes of the devil. Schemes. Schemes are things that he has thought of that he wants to use to try and trip you up. If the devil can get a scheme, or if he can get one of his devious plans to take root in your life, you know what he can do? He can start an entire garden of bad weeds growing in your life. And you know what those weeds will do in the spiritual sense? They will grow up around you. They will grow around your heart. They will choke you out. And they will eventually drain you of your spiritual life. See, the enemy, he uses rulers, powers, and forces of darkness that he has at his disposal. The Bible says that the devil, he is the prince of the and the power of the air. See, he was cast out into the earthly realm. People think that he's in heaven, that he's in hell right now. He's not. If you go back to when Job was afflicted in his trials, what does the Bible say the devil was doing? He was going to and fro in the earth. You remember that? So think of that. The devil is in this atmosphere, and he is using anybody and any source that he can to carry out his plans. He can use humans, and he can use things that are inhuman. And what you see going on in the world right now, I see Christians who are cringing at what they watch on TV, what they see on the news. And I want you to realize this. The devil uses social media. The devil uses the media to spread his wickedness and lies. If you watch the news, it is full of nothing but garbage and trash. I can't tell you how I'm so sick and tired this last few weeks. All I've heard about is Taylor Swift and her boyfriend at the football game. And I thought, who cares? Really, who cares? I don't care about what they're doing. I don't care about their relationship and what, you know, that they're lovey-dove and coochie-coo and all. I don't care about that stuff. But it's all over the news. And you know how many people can't wait to get home and turn on the TV and watch that stuff? I have a family member that every morning they can't wait to get up and turn on the Fox News so that they can live their life scared absolutely to death and worry about what's going on around them. Well, I tell you what, I've done all the talking that I could do with my cousin, and I just had to say, God, they're yours. I can't change them, and I can't do anything about it. I've talked till I'm blue and purple in the face, and now it makes me want to plant the sole of my boot in their behind. And I don't want to do that, Lord. That's not the way to get somebody's attention. So, Lord, I give them to you. But the forces of darkness are all around us. And see, that's something that we have to recognize. In this fight, the devil's going to come at you. The Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible doesn't say that he is a roaring lion. It says he is like. Well, what does a roaring lion do? Making a bunch of noise. What does the devil do? The devil makes a bunch of noise. And what happens to Christians who aren't ready, who aren't living for the Lord? They get scared. They get terrified at the sounds. They get terrified at the words and the actions of and the deeds of the devil. And I've known some people who literally will crawl up in their home and never leave the comfort of their home because they're too scared to get out the door. And folks, I'm not saying bad about anything. What I'm pointing out is it's a real thing. today. But Christ said that He came and to give us life, that we would have life abundantly. Now, if Christ came to give us life, and if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then what's the first thing we need to do each morning when we get up out of bed? We have to put on the armor. We have to clothe ourselves to be ready for battle. Now, our military men and women, when they go in to fight a physical human battle, what do they have? They have military gear and uniforms and artillery to protect them as they go out to war or as they go out to battle. Now, I want you to picture this. How effective would our military be if all they did was put on a uniform and then got out on the front lines to fight a battle? How effective do you think they're going to be? They're not going to be too effective at all. In fact, they're going to get knocked down and they're going to get wiped out because they haven't had any training. They weren't dressed and ready for the right occasion. And when the enemy came, most of them would turn around and run, won't they? And that's what the devil is doing to people today. We are going onto the front lines of the battle. We are not dressed in the armor that God has provided for us. We get training through God's Word every single day. That's why we're supposed to read it, because it builds us up and strengthens us, and it shows us how to fight. And thirdly, if we use the weapons that God has given to us, we can go into battle courageously. And when we go and we are in abiding with Christ, and we are submitting to God's ways, the devil, the Bible says, will flee from us. So I want to ask a question. Why are we letting this little bitty powerless thing come against us as God's people? You and I, as Christian people, we have to resist everything that's evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from every form of evil. We should separate ourselves from the things of the world and the flesh. I'll read that again. We should separate ourselves from the things of the world and the flesh. Now, I'm going to say something that's a lot of truth. What you see going on in the world today with a lot of Christians, we have God's Word. And God's Word is the power and the authority that we should live by. And you know what we have today going on? We have people, Christians in the church today, that are starting, they're reading God's Word, but then they're applying manly thoughts to God's Word, and they're trying to make sense out of it. Does that make sense, what I just said? Okay. Here, I'll give you an example. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, an apple has got a lot of healthy benefits. And if you take that apple in its good, pure form, and you cut that dude up and eat it, man, it's going to energize your body. It's going to fight off. I'm not going to get into this long health speech. But anyway, it's just good for your body. Now, I love apples. And you know what else happens with apples? You go to Cracker Barrel, or you go to the state fair, you go to any restaurant, and they take them apples and they cut them up, and buddy, they dip them in liquid sugar. And they put cinnamon on them, they put ice cream on them and glaze and all this good stuff. And then people start to eat it, and guess what? That apple has lost every healthy benefit that it's supposed to contain. So, in the same way, we read God's Word, and we should take God's Word as it is, because God's Word is a benefit to us. But when we take God's Word and we dip God's Word into liquid sugar, which is man's thoughts and man's perceptions, and we draw it out, and then we start trying to feed on it, it ain't got no benefit to us at all. And you know what's happening? The devil is speaking more and more lies to us day after day. I hear people talking today about sinful ways of living, and they say, well, it's all right now because we have God's grace to cover us. Well, that's wrong, because the Bible says to abstain, get away, stay away from everything that is evil, things of the flesh. The Bible tells us to stay away from sin, stay away from hanging out with people who live a sinful life, because their rot will get on you, and then you're going to start seeing God's Word, and you're going to start interpreting God's Word through some pretty messed up ways. See, when Jesus was alive on the face of this earth, He was the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I want to make something pretty clear this morning. When the Word dwelt among us, and He does today, the Word taught the Word, and boy, did He ever make some powerful sense out of it. But the Word that Jesus taught, His Father's Word, it's plain, clear-cut, and dry. This is what it is. You can't change it. I can't change it. Because you know what? If we start changing God's Word, we are in danger of God's hellfire judgment. We are not to add to or take away from this Word. But yet there are preachers in the pulpit today, there are Sunday school teachers today who've been dipped in the liquid sugar. They've taken God's Word and dipped it in liquid sugar in their own thoughts and their own perceptions, and they're presenting it to churches today. Well, I pray for these people today that their eyes and their hearts and attention will be turned back to God, and that they will repent of their ways. We have to live by His holy Word. Secondly, we have to take up the whole armor. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So what is taking up the armor? It is by reading and studying the Word of God and spending quality time in prayer. Not just a, oh Lord, thank you for this day. Bless me, Lord. Bless my family and protect me as I go in Jesus' name. Amen. That's not what the Lord wants. That's not what God's asking of us. God's asking us to take our busy calendar. I'm telling you what, in this day and age, we got to be cutting off what we're doing in this world. We got to be cutting off our own made-up schedules, things that we think are so important, and if we don't do them, we're going to roll over and not be able to sleep at night. That's how a lot of people act today, isn't it? Oh, I got to get this done. If I don't, boy, my day's ruined. Well, I don't agree with that. We should cut our days to where we give God a huge chunk of our day. We should get the Word out. We should read it. And we should study it. And we should hide His Word in our heart so that we will not sin against God. And by praying, when we spend quality time in prayer, we are strengthened and lifted up. I mean, before I got down and wrote the sermon Tuesday night, Janine was at work, and I just went into the, well, what we call our little office, and I just shut that door, and I got in there and got on my face and prayed. And I thanked the Lord for the day and thanked Him for life and just prayed from the heart. And then I have, from my kid days, I've got this old hymn book. Man, I love that thing. And I'm glad I'm the only one who could hear me sing in that room. But I sat down in that rocking chair and I opened that book up and I just start singing one hymn after another. I had about five or six. And after got done singing and praising the Lord, tell you what, I felt like I could conquer anything. I felt good. And I went in and I was singing those hymns over and over. I was cooking some stroganoff on the stove. I'm glad I didn't get too happy that I forgot what I was doing. I would have burnt my food. But you know, I just felt right up here on the mountaintop with the Lord after having that kind of time with Him. And boy, was it precious to me. And Janine got home from work, and we shared about her day. Now, she wasn't feeling good at all when she came in, but she did sit down. She kind of zonked out for a while, and then she woke up, had some supper, and we sat there and we just shared about God. We didn't turn the TV on. We didn't talk about who's doing what and the rumor mill, what's going on. I hate rumor mills. Boy, that's when people come to me and go, hey, did you hear about it? I'm sorry, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about the rumor mill. Let's talk about the Lord. And we shared and we testified about how good God is and what He's done through us in that day and how God came through in situations. And we rejoiced. And I'd sat down and started on the sermon, and I was telling Janine, I said, boy, God just really, the words just really started coming out today. And this is going to be a two-part sermon. By the next week, I'm getting in on each piece of the armor, I believe it's going to be really good next week too. But after we got done sharing, and we decided to just sit, it was time to go to bed, and we prayed before going to bed. I went to bed, and I'm telling you, I went right to sleep, and I slept like an angel. But that is because we find our peace in God. Now, I want to give you a story. This is from the Bible, and then I'm going to close. You remember when Jesus and the disciples got into the boat on the Sea of Galilee? What did Jesus say to the disciples? Let's go to the other side. Okay, now I want you to keep that in mind. Jesus told them, let's go to the other side. So that means they're starting at one point and they're going to another point. Now, on the Sea of Galilee, you know that there's high mountains, there's rocky ledges and stuff. And every time when the wind got to blowing, it would create quite the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And here's the disciples all in the boat, and the wind started kicking up. And guess what? They all got afraid, and Jesus was in the boat with them. Now Jesus, He had a cushion, the Bible says He was on the stern of the boat. He was asleep. He was sleeping in a storm. And so the disciples get all panicked. The Lord's with them. And the Bible says they had to arouse Him. Well, you know what it's like. I'm sure, Corrine, you've had to arouse Milton. What? And you know what? You shake him, don't you? Come on, get up. Come on, Jesus. I mean, we're about to die here. Don't you care about us? What is wrong? Wake up. And Jesus woke up and said, oh, you of little faith, what is wrong with you? Okay, so didn't Jesus say, let's go to the other side? Jesus didn't say, let's get in the middle. I'm going to flip this boat over and we're all going to drown. That's not what Jesus said. He said, let's go to the other side. So see, if you're battle ready and you're out there in your boat on the Sea of Galilee, on your Sea of Galilee, and there's a storm rises up in your life, would be your Sea of Galilee. Storms are going to rise up. Guess who's with you in that storm? His name is Jesus. And you know what? Jesus has told us from the moment we took a step of faith as Christians, we're going to the other side. That's what he's telling you about life. Jesus didn't bring us in this life to take us halfway and then ruin us and destroy us. That's not what Jesus came here to do. Jesus says, we're going to the other side, my children. And if Jesus says that, then we're going to the other side. We're going to heaven. But you're going to have the storms. And when you get in that storm, grab your cushion, lay in the stern, and go to sleep. What I'm saying is have trust in the Lord and be at peace in the storm. Be battle ready. Every day, put on the full armor. And like I said, next week we'll talk about that full armor and every piece of it and what it means and how we apply it to our life.